أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, we are continuing in our discussion of this wonderful hadith of the Mi'raj of the Prophet of Allah. And we're trying to use this hadith to better ourselves, to be those soldiers of the Imam of our time. We're going to work on our inner souls. What happens now is that the Prophet of Allah, after hearing those first instructions of Allah, asks Allah who the people of the dunya are. So now when we hear these traits, as soldiers of the Imam, we want to see where is it that you and I could possibly be one of the people of the dunya. So the next line, قَالَ يَا رَبْ مَنْ أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا. He said, O my Lord, tell me, who are the people of this world? وَمَنْ أَهْلُ الْآخِرَةِ. And who are the people of the next world? So Allah started off by describing the people of this world first. أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا مَنْ كَثُرَ أَكْلُهُ وَذِحْكُهُ وَنَوْمُهُ وَغَذَبُهُ. That surely the people of this world are those who are given to overeating, excess laughter, too much sleep, and much anger. So anger, sleeping, oversleeping, excess laughter, and overeating. All of these things mentioned in the hadith. Now again, the hadith continues. There are many other traits that were mentioned. We're only able to mention these now. Is there anything we can do about this echo? I know that it kind of bothers the listeners. Salawat bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
If we look carefully at the words of the hadith, we notice that what was mentioned here was excess, man kathura akluhu, which is what we're going to talk about today. Those who overeat. It doesn't tell us not to eat, to abandon eat, starvation diet, nothing like that. I want to explain a hadith from the Imam, which is one of those basic hadith that we want to remember from the beginning until the end. This is the hadith. He says, أَعْجَبُ مَا فِي الْإِنسَانِ قَلْبُهُ. The most wonderful thing about any human being is his soul. If we look at the human being, the development of the human being, the physical body of the human being, we'll see many wonderful things. But the best and most important thing about us is our eternal soul, our qalb, our heart, as it's referred to in this hadith. The hadith is long, but then he says a point which applies to us here. He says, فَكُلُّ تَقْسِيرٍ بِهِ مُضِرٍ وَكُلُّ إِفْرَاطٍ بِهِ مُفْسِدٍ. The heart, which is your most wonderful part of your body, your soul, your eternal soul, if you go to extremes with that heart, either negligent, you don't do that duty, taqsir, you don't do what you're supposed to do, you neglect your duties, or you overindulge yourself, he says that any sort of this going outside of the middle path is harmful to the heart. It harms the heart, it harms the soul. And this is something we want to keep with us from the beginning to the end. The spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt is the way of balance from the beginning to the end. We don't want to go to extremes. We don't consider ourselves broken. That this is one trait about me, one inclination that I have, and I have to root it out from my soul in order to be safe. Verse of Quran, Surah 32 and verse number 8. أَلَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. That God is the one who perfected everything that He made. So we're not broken. We just have to find a way of channeling these energies, channeling these desires, channeling these emotions to help save us. So even when we talk about anger later on, it doesn't mean get rid of anger. I don't want to be... No, there's a role for anger. Eating, drinking, sleeping, all of these things. And we'll talk about the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. A beautiful verse of Quran which illustrates this point. Surah 28 and verse number 77. وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهِ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. With that which Allah has given you, use that to seek the abode of the hereafter. So those gifts that Allah has given you, those traits that Allah has put in you, all of those things are supposed to move you to God. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your share of this world. So now when we're talking about overeating, it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the dunya. It doesn't mean that we don't eat from the dunya. Again, verse of Quran, it's Surah 6 and it's verse number 1, Surah 2, verse 162. O people, eat of that which is in the earth, halalan tayyiba, that which is halal and is wholesome, eat of that, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. It's mentioned in the verses of Quran that one of the ways that shaitan attacks us is he gets us to forbid the halal to ourselves. This is one of the ways that he gets believers. That as a believer, when it comes to those issues which are halal, he gets me not to be on that middle path. So once I am not on that middle path, that's a way for shaitan to attack. So for us as Muslims, we eat, we enjoy. It's good, a good thing. Now, just encouragement for our sisters. You know, our sisters, alhamdulillah, they're educated. They're in society. They're serving in many facets. They have occupations. But one of the things that's mentioned in hadith that's good for a sister to pride herself on is her ability to cook. Hadith. خَيْرٌ نِسَائِكُمْ. This is from the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says that the best of your women, الطَّيِّبَةُ الطَّعَامُ, the woman who can cook well. One thing for our sisters, no shame in that. I don't cook for my family. I'm educated. No, I'm educated. I do all of those things. Alhamdulillah, I'm out there in society. But I'm also a great cook. The hadith mentions another point too, which is helpful, and that is that it says that she is also at-tayyibatu ar-rih, that she also smells very wonderful. Sometimes people are great cooks, but then, let's say before their husband comes home, they won't go and change into some fresh outfit, so then they might smell a little bit of food, and that's not good for a marriage. You want to be successful in your marriage? Be a great cook, but in addition to that, make sure before your husband gets home, you change, you put on your perfume, you're looking nice, and that's the way. So for us as Muslims, we say that we enjoy this world and the hereafter. I want to relate a beautiful story that I came across. It's a hadith. I'm paraphrasing the words of the hadith. The Imam was apparently discussing with an atheist, somebody who didn't believe in God or didn't believe in Islam. The way I remember it was that he didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was talking and debating with the Imam. So the Imam explained, he said that if it is the case that on that side, when we die, there's nothing there, I haven't lost. As a Muslim, I'm living life better than everybody else. And when you listen to the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt about how to live in this world, you'll say that, yes, I believe this. This is correct. This is true. It agrees with my fitrah. So he says that if there's nothing on the other side, I haven't lost. He said, but if there is something on the other side, and of course we know there is, then you have definitely lost. You've lost in this world because you weren't a Muslim, you didn't practice as you were supposed to, you didn't enjoy the dunya, then after that you have to pay. Whereas for us as Muslims, first this world, we enjoy, we benefit, and then we proceed to the next world. So with us, that means nothing like, you know, we don't have any vegan diets. That's not part of the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt. What happens is that you'll find sometimes in other tariqahs or other ways that this is prescribed, that we have a vegan diet. There's a secret behind this. What happens is if you weaken the physical side of yourself, the other side of you becomes stronger. If you weaken the physical side, you can start to see some of the realities on the other side. So for us, as followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we do not get into the spiritual path to see those things on the other side. Meaning that for us, we're trying to serve God, but it's a reality that there are haqa'iq and realities. And if we serve Allah, then sometimes we can discover those realities. But what happens is if we don't go on the path of the Ahlul Bayt, we weaken our physical side. We're not people who maintain that balance. We're only eating on this vegan diet, for instance. One of the things is that some of those things on the other side we start to see. And we can start to imagine that actually I've reached a certain level of spirituality. When I make salat, my toes tingle, for instance. So I think that, wow, I've reached a maqam, I've done something. For us though, because this is a technical discussion, on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, we're not looking to reach a certain maqam or have certain spiritual effects. That may come, it may not. Even if it does come, and it does sometimes happen, once we're advancing on the spiritual path, that we'll start to experience some really good spiritual states. But for us, we're not slaves of that spiritual state. We're slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we have that spiritual state and it leaves later, for us the concern is not, oh, I've left the spiritual state. The concern is, was I doing my takleef? If I was, and it went, that's okay. Because I was serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wasn't serving the spiritual state. I'm Allah's slave. So for us as believers, we realize that yes, it is possible that if I go around with these techniques which are not according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt, I kill my desires, I underdo. Remember we said that ifrat and tafrit, both of them were dangerous for the heart. If I underdo it, I can experience some things, but I don't want to be fooled. Normally when people come to the Urafah, and they explain, and a lot of times it's people who are spiritual, going above and beyond just their wajibat. And they're practicing some things, they're doing some dhikr and these things. Sometimes it happens that they've actually started to experience some of these special things. So then they go to the Araf and they say, well look, I've started to experience this, I've started to dream about this. And there's a role for all of that, we don't have time to talk about all of it. The point I want to make is a different one. One of those things that they'll say is, calm down, it is not that you have discovered the hidden realities yet. You haven't got there, we've got a long way to go. Eat some kebab, it'll all go away. The reality. Especially, and that we're not saying the kebab which is, you know, the kubideh, the one that, the meshed meat. No, there's kebab which is made of meat, and they give that as a specific instruction to people. Eat that, those realities you thought you were seeing, those voices, I don't know what, I'm on the a'la illiyin, all of that will disappear. So we shouldn't be fooled by that or be looking for that. Yes, some of these things will come and they come at a certain stage, but it doesn't mean that we abandon these principles. We have that hadith which I recited of the Prophet of Allah. He was angry about some of his companions. He said that, you know, he had heard that they stopped eating meat, stopped using perfume, and stopped being intimate with their wives. And he said, no, I do all of these three things, and whoever leaves my sunnah is not from me. So we don't want to get confused. So it doesn't mean, when we say man kathura akluhu, it doesn't mean that we don't eat, we don't enjoy. No, we do that. What we're talking about is something completely different than that. What do we mean when we say the person who overeats? What are some of the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt about eating, which I need to be observing in order to advance on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt? Principle now, this is a principle. Whenever enjoying the dunya, I am enjoying the dunya so much that it leads me to be distracted from the goals of life, which are getting awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being a slave of Allah. If enjoying the dunya leads me to that, that's a sign that I'm stepping outside the bounds. Outside the bounds. So now I'll give you the hadith behind it. It says that if eating and drinking become our main concern, our greatest concern is eating and drinking, that's a sign that we are one of the people of the dunya, ahlu dunya. How? This is the hadith now. It says, it says that the furthest that a slave is from Allah Azza wa Jal, the furthest that you and I can get from God is when we don't have any concern except our stomachs and our private parts. That's my highest concern? That's what I'm looking for in life? Then again, I'm one of those people who, that's not following according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. My highest concern is food and enjoying myself. That's a mistake. It's not that I don't enjoy myself, but that's my whole focus. We said before that when it comes to enjoying ourselves, one of the conditions for enjoying ourselves and knowing what we're doing the right thing is that we use it as a means of getting nearer to Allah. So that was one hadith. Another thing that could be true when we say that the people who man kathura akluhu, those people who are overindulging themselves when it comes to food, is if my income is not halal. If I want to go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, I have to make sure that I'm choosing the proper field. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are in school now, we have to make sure that according to my marja, my income is halal. If it's not, there are big problems. I wonder how come I'm not advancing spiritually? Well, the money that's coming in, that's not halal money. I cannot violate Allah's laws and then think, okay, well, I'll work on my... No. We start with those wajibat, with doing those things. So that's one. The other one is that even if I do have that halal income, am I up to date with my homes? Or is it that I owe the money to the imam of my time? We have verses of Quran about eating the money of the yatim. Eating money which belongs to an orphan. And we have some hadith from the Ahlul Bayt that say, if I don't make a mistake, and I'm not making a mistake about this hadith, it's just tatbiq of it, that we are the yatim. If you're eating the money of the Ahlul Bayt, if you're not paying khums to your marja, the representative of the imam, then your money has a problem. Sometimes even to spend the rest of your money has a problem because you haven't taken out that money which belonged to the imam of your time. So in order for me to advance spiritually, I have to be up to date on these things I'm paying. If I'm earning, even as a youngster, if there's money that khums is applicable to, even if it's only £5, that money of the imam has to be paid. And then I can feel the power of the imam in my life. That to me, it's just as if the imam is real and alive. His money, if it's part of my money, has to be taken out. So that's another thing that when it comes to eating, we want to make sure we're doing right. The next one, when it comes to wasting, israf. I remember hearing one time they said that your average American would spend 30% more than what they earn. People live beyond their means. Sometimes they live beyond their means. Sometimes when they have, they waste. And we have verses of Quran. Kulu washrabu, eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Don't do israf, don't waste. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not like those who waste. So one of the things, when I'm looking at myself now when I hear this hadith, to see, am I one of the people who's ahlul dunya? Is there wastage that goes on in my life? And if we look carefully, many times a believer like myself, I can look and I can see, yes, there are times when I'm wasting. So that was Surah 7 and verse number 31. I want to make sure that there's no wastage in my life as a soldier of the imam. The last one that we want to think about at the moment is overeating. Man kathura akluhu, those people who overeat. They eat more than they're supposed to be eating. There's a story about Satan, Iblis, and Yahya, Hazrat Yahya. And Hazrat Yahya sees Iblis with these snares and traps and these ways of fooling and tricking the people. So he asked them, what is this? He says, I use these as ways of tricking and fooling the people. He said, what about me? Is there anything, any way, if I'm paraphrasing, anything that you like about me? Any traps that you have for me? He said, there's only one thing. He said that you eat a little bit more than you need to, and then you're heavy when it comes to ibadah. You don't have that energy to perform ibadah. And I like that. I like that. So, overeating, going above and beyond what we're supposed to be eating, again, that's one of those things we have to be careful about as followers of the Ahlul Bayt and people who go on the spiritual path. There's a beautiful hadith from the Imam that states that I want to teach you four things. It's Amirul Mu'mineen talking to one of his sons. He says that there's four things. I want to teach you these four things. If you do these four things, you won't need to go to a doctor. We'll shut down the medical industry. No, we're not going to shut down the medical industry. But if you do these four things, inshallah, the unnecessary visits to a doctor, you can avoid. He said the first is eat when you're hungry and stop eating while you're still hungry. Eat when you feel the need to eat. Don't eat out of other hungers, emotional hunger, it's a habit. No, eat when you're hungry, and then before you've reached the state that you're actually full, it's time to stop. They've done medical tests about these things. They say that it takes 20 minutes for the brain to give to receive the message from the stomach that it is actually full. So if we're actually full before, by the time we actually feel full, our stomach has become overextended. We put too much food in it, then we have that full feeling. However, if we'd stop a second, stop while we're still hungry, wait for a few minutes, we'd realize that we're actually full. No need to eat until I'm actually stuffed. We can test it out and try it. So that's one. The other one is that the Imam states, he says, chew well. Chew your food well. What they say is if you eat slowly, again, you'll give your body a better chance to realize that it's actually full. I don't have to go to that stage where I'm actually stuffing myself, overeating, and being one of the people of the dunya. The last thing, the last instruction of the Imam in that particular hadith was he says that use the bathroom before you go to sleep. Make sure you use the bathroom before you go to sleep. And if you do these four things, then you'll be able to stay away from unnecessary visits to the doctor. So for our spiritual development, we need to be applying these things. So what happens to us spiritually though if we're not like this? If we're one of the people of the dunya, ahlu dunya, man kathura akluhu. If I'm one of those people who does not obey the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt on this particular matter, there are several spiritual effects which we'll talk about. One of them is that hunger on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah to preserve us from this. What does it mean to be hungry on the Day of Judgment? We have hadith about those who stuff themselves here, and then on the Day of Judgment, they're hungry. One of the explanations that's given is perhaps it means that the person will find themselves deficient of those moral excellencies, those excellent moral traits, because I was one of the people of this world. And then I'm suffering in the next world because I didn't train myself and treat myself properly. I didn't develop those excellent moral qualities. So that hunger, and whatever that is on the Day of Judgment, to have that hunger because of that lack of balance. The other spiritual flaw is forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by overeating. When we overeat, one of the things is that we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one is a hardening of the hearts. You may have noticed now that you're fasting, and you'll notice it as the month of Ramadan continues. Now when you hear the words of the Ahlul Bayt, it resonates within you. Somehow you're more ready to hear these things. The heart becomes softer by avoiding overeating. We're more ready to hear the advice of the Ahlul Bayt. Again, it doesn't mean starving ourselves, but just not overeating. And it's also mentioned that we become lazy to perform ibadah. One of the reasons that we are not able to perform those night prayers, those extra ibadah that we'd like to do, is that we're ahlul dunya. We overeat. So, there's physical effects too though that were mentioned in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. That you're prone to sickness. There are certain types of sickness which are mentioned in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt which we're more prone to if we overeat, if we don't obey those instructions. And also even our physical appearance. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, we've been graced by the presence of Agha Araki and he has made our majlis beautiful. Of course, it makes things a little bit more difficult for me as a speaker. I have to talk in the presence of our teachers, but inshallah, Allah will reward us. Salawat bar Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So one of the things that we find about that overeating is that actually our physical appearance can be changed. This hadith is mentioned about Hazrat Isa, that he was going to a village, a city, and he saw that there was a man and woman shouting at each other, this hadith, shouting at one another. And he asked the man, he said, the man and woman, why is it that you guys are fighting? Why is it that you guys are shouting? He said that my wife has become ugly. It's hadith. My wife has become ugly. Her face has changed now. He said, and she's not old. She's not old. Why is she like this? I'm angry about this. I'm upset. So then Hazrat Isa turned to the woman. He said that, would you like to have, I'm paraphrasing the words of the hadith, would you like to be beautiful again? Would you like to be fresh-faced again? She said, yes, I'd love that. What were the instructions? Avoid this overeating. Avoid overeating. So our physical appearance is also changed by not obeying these instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. That's one of the side effects of being Ahlul Dunya. So, before I move on though, there's something that I'd like to share with you, brothers and sisters. And that is that as Muslims, we should have a healthy self-image. We shouldn't hate ourselves for the way we look, be trying to live up to some pictures that we've seen on television, some images that we think we should look like. No, that's incorrect. That's not the correct way to be. We want to be happy about who we are. I want to recite a verse of Quran for you. This is Surah 30 and it's verses 22. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِخْتِلَافُ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Among Allah's signs are the creation of the heavens and the earth and the difference of your languages and colors. Allah made us different. We're individuals. We're happy to be that. We don't all look the same. We don't all have to look the same in order to feel good about ourselves. We should be happy with the way we are. That's the way Allah blessed us. Allah honored us and Allah favored us. So for us, we want to be happy about that. So what we're saying is, no, do eat. Don't get into anorexia and so many of these other problems that come from this materialistic worldview. But at the same time, we will encourage people to exercise. It's mentioned in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt that when the Prophet of Allah would walk, you could see, no, this is actually from Ibn Abbas. He says, so it's a report, a historical account. It says that when he would walk, you could tell that the Prophet of Allah was not weak or lazy. Wasn't weak or lazy. He walked, in my words, in English, like an athlete. Not weak, not lazy. All of us are supposed to be doing exercise. That will help to make the picture complete. So for us, it's not about not having a good self-image. It's not about not liking ourselves. All of us should be exercising though. We're all healthy. We're all, you know, exercising. And it doesn't mean only using our cell phones, exercising our fingers, or exercising the remote control. Physical exercise. Out exercising, part of our daily routine. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that He make us of the people of the Akhirah, those people who are not Ahlul Dunya. We ask Allah that He makes us of the people who don't overeat. We ask Allah that we have the tawfiq of finding out the other traits of the people of the dunya, our correct mode of living and being those people. We ask Allah to protect all of the believers, all of the Maharaja and the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.